You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin has often described walking through steel gates to visit his parents in prison as a kid. Now a corrections officer who works in the New York State prison where his father is in custody has tested positive for COVID-19. Like a lot of family members of people incarcerated, he's worried about being left in the dark as the virus spreads. As a prosecutor, he's also working to reduce the risks of an outbreak in San Francisco's jails. He's instructed staff to examine cases to see who can be released early. KALW Justice reporter Holly J. McDeed spoke with him over the phone.
My father is 75 years old. He recently had surgery. He's in a prison in New York State that doesn't actually have a single doctor on staff. And he lives in very close quarters with other inmates, as is true in jails and prisons across the country. I did speak with him last weekend. His health was at that time good. His spirits were good. He was concerned about continuing to make phone calls because they, of course, share a phone with many hundreds of other inmates, and everybody's speaking into the same mouthpiece. They have very limited sanitation materials and hygiene materials. And he was anticipating that his entire prison would be put on lockdown, meaning virtually no movement. Of course, getting food, getting access to food, knowing how that food's been prepared by who is going to be a constant challenge in this period for him and for other people locked up across the country. Given my father's age, given his medical issues and the lack of medical resources available at his prison, I'm absolutely worried for his well-being, for his risk of exposure, and for what would happen if he contracts COVID-19.
And what are some of your biggest worries about what could happen if there were a major outbreak in San Francisco's jails?
We received a letter from the director of jail health, who works for the Department of Public Health here in San Francisco. The way the letter put it is that, and I'm quoting here, an outbreak in the San Francisco County Jail could result in catastrophic outcomes for those staff and incarcerated persons in high-risk groups. And the letter goes on to explain that, you know, people are coming in and out of jail 24/7, and any one person in that population who gets it would likely then spread like wildfire to the rest of the inmates and staff because of the close proximity and the impossibility in the jail setting of social distancing or good hygiene. The jail medical director urged me and other criminal justice department heads and officials to quickly reduce the jail population. As she says, a rapid reduction in the jail population will provide an opportunity to create distance between people in cells and mitigate the spread of infection. That's a very serious challenge. It's a serious mandate for us. And what I'm trying to do to the extent possible, both with regard to the jail population as well as with regard to practices in my own office and amongst my staff, is what I wish the President of the United States were doing, which is I'm trying to let the medical professionals take the lead in the midst of this medical crisis. If we go back to the date that the state of emergency was declared, the jail population was, on March 4th, was 1,097. Just in about 3 weeks, we've taken it from 1,097 down to 899. We've done that because the jail medical director has told us we have to do so in order to save lives.
Are there any public safety concerns about getting the jail population down to that level and having to release more inmates in order to do so?
Right now, the single leading risk to public safety is COVID-19 across the country. That is the single biggest fear in terms of likely loss of life that people around the country have. It doesn't mean that we don't have other concerns, that, you know, violence and guns and so on don't continue to be a concern. But right now, to keep us safe, what we need to do is find ways to limit the spread of COVID-19 and make sure the jail doesn't become a vector and a repository for the disease. You know, with individuals who are being released, many of them are people who themselves are gravely, gravely ill. Earlier today, I was working on a woman who is 33 years old, who's pregnant, who's charged with a misdemeanor, who's already pled guilty to that misdemeanor, and has something like 2 more months of jail time to serve before her sentence is up. Now, It's a misdemeanor. It's a nonviolent misdemeanor. It involves property. The notion that public safety, particularly in the context of COVID-19 epidemic, that public safety is somehow furthered by keeping a pregnant woman in jail, is just simply inconsistent with any notion of public safety that I'm familiar with or could adopt. We want that woman, and more importantly, we want that fetus in a safe, loving, supportive, medically appropriate environment. We have that environment ready, lined up, waiting. We need to get her out of jail as soon as possible, and she can serve the remainder of her jail in that residential facility. And if need be, for whatever reason, she can serve it there on an electronic ankle monitor, so we know that she's there.
Has this outbreak also made it more difficult to find alternatives for incarceration for people? Like when it comes to accessing other services for people who are in the criminal justice system?
We have challenges placing people, depending on their particular needs, in shelters, in drug treatment facilities, in detox centers, in all the different kinds of facilities that we rely on for placing people coming out of the jail on a regular basis. It's often a challenge. It's often a long wait, you know, that anybody who works in the criminal justice system is well aware of. In this moment, because of the need for all the agencies that run those beds, those facilities, to also create social distance within their population, the population they serve, they're all closing their doors. They don't have the resources to continue to take new people in under these circumstances, or to risk that someone they bring in who can't get tested is positive and is bringing COVID-19 into their vulnerable population. And so we're seeing, sadly, a lot of these homeless shelters and other short-term housing options and long-term medical care options. We are seeing them close their doors. It also means that people who are being released from jail in some instances are going onto the streets, which is not safe for them or for any of us in this particular moment. So we talk about public safety. Not having those beds, not having those resources hurts public safety. It makes it more likely that lives will be lost unnecessarily, that people will be harmed by conduct and by circumstance that's entirely predictable and preventable.
Are there positive changes you've seen come from this health crisis that you'd like to see continue in San Francisco's criminal justice system?
I think the crisis is forcing all of us in the criminal justice system to be much more efficient, much more streamlined, and much more focused on the cases that are the most serious. We simply don't have the capacity in this moment, with courtrooms shutting down, with members of various law enforcement agencies getting sick, with lawyers working from home, et cetera, to prosecute all the cases that we were used to prosecuting, to hold all the people in jail that we were used to holding in jail. And so it's forcing us to make decisions that we didn't have to make before. I ran for district attorney in part because of a belief that we could and should significantly reduce the number of people we prosecute, the number of people we put in jail. I ran on a commitment to reduce the jail population in San Francisco by enough to close County Jail Number 4. And we are now well below the number of people needed to close County Jail 4. If we can sustain the current jail population, or even sustain it within a plus 10 or 15% range, we can safely close County Jail 4 and not need it again even after this crisis passes. So I think it's teaching us some lessons about how we can hold people accountable, protect the public, enforce the laws in ways that don't rely so narrowly and so heavily on incarceration as a primary response.
That was San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin speaking with KALW's justice reporter Holly J. McDeed. Alice Wolfley helped produce that interview.